Oh, yeah. So my talk title for today is Adapting to Change, the Natural Flow or Rhythm of Life. So, what a fun thing, adapting to change. Yay. No. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I was going to say. You know, and actually the Wednesday group was talking about this also in our reading on Wednesday and our meditating. And it just brought to mind when we take a look at our world that, of course, everything always changes. And Heraclitus, who was a Greek philosopher, we all know the statement, the only thing that is constant is change, right? So it's like, well, how trite is that? You know, thanks ever so much, you know. And so I really wanted to kind of talk about recognizing that, of course, change is the natural flow. And William Bryant, poet, journalist, he was the editor for so long of the Evening Post. He says, "Weep not that the world changes. Did it keep a stable, changeless state, it were cause indeed to weep." We sort of forget that. You know, and we tend to, when stuff changes and it feels a little different, then we kind of go into panic or fear, or maybe some tears here, but he's saying, oh my gosh, what if the world stayed static? Yikes, that would not be any good. And Marcus Aurelius, of course, former Roman emperor, said, "Observe constantly that all things take place by change." And so it's understandable to recognize that the human mechanism, the mindset within us as humans to survive and to be okay, we seek that which is familiar. It's a place of safety. So even when a change comes up or something is different, even though it may be a great change, we're still going to have sort of this experience of, wait, I want my safe little cocoon, right? And so in this process of taking a look at change, and even when we might embrace change, saying, oh, yay, this is going to be great, I'm going to move somewhere new that I love, it is important to know that it still, even at an unconscious level, affects us. And there's a time that's important to take to adapt. And I always like to go to scripture from Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." This is a great one to put up on the refrigerator or the bathroom mirror. Somewhere to just be reminded when everything breaks loose and when everything begins to change. So let's look at our world, our universe, and its design, its creation. Not from a God out here who's pulling the strings or anything, but the whole way that our world is created. What are the things that are natural and ever ongoing change? What? Moon, thank you. Yeah, moon. I thought you said wind. Moon and wind and the seasons, right? And what else in our world? Age, exactly. I had that one down. I wonder why that was. Yeah. Yeah, age. Life and death. Changing of a job. Moving to a new location. Maybe a new city. Maybe a new country. You know, it's a natural flow and is ever ongoing. And it's so relevant to allow ourselves to be in that place of both and. We're naturally human, and we have responses at instinctual levels, at unconscious levels, and yet we are also designed in the image and likeness of the divine, of God, and we have that resource available to us at any time to help us navigate through these changes. They may be a small change, maybe a big one. Like I said, you may be really excited for it. You may be fired from your job, and you're going, no, thank you very much. You know, there's so many different ways that change happens for us each and every day. How many of you have gone to the store and tried to get your favorite coffee and they were out? Oh man, Lisa's over here going, yeah. You know, and so it's so funny. And so while we wouldn't think that that was a real significant change, in that moment it is, you know. And so I'm going to have a few ways for us to address some of these changes. And some of them are going to be a little more minute and some of them are going to be larger. But Arnold Bennett, who is, he was a prolific English novelist in the late 1800s, early 1900s, he said, any change, even a change for the better, is always accompanied by discomforts. You know, it is, because we're outside of what we've known, what's familiar. And Ashley, brilliant, he was an amazing American author and cartoonist, many of you. There's notes on furry companions. I didn't even realize he wrote that. I think we had a copy in the back of the church at one time. But he says, nothing we can do can change the past. But everything we do changes the future. And you know, when we think about how much time we spend running the hamster wheel of our mind of what has happened in the past, and going over it and over it, and I should have done this, and why didn't I do that? And this helps us to remember to come back present, to be in this now moment, so that every step forward, we are conscious and we create and manifest out into our world. So the first most important thing are the steps to take in dealing and adapting to change have to do with grieving. You know, we don't usually think about that. You know, if we're excited to move, we don't think about grieving. We think, oh man, the store didn't have my coffee. Well, I don't think I'm going to grieve about it. But, you know, part of us does. And we just want to, you know, run right over it. Or Starbucks was out of our favorite pastry. Or, you know, so many little different things throughout our life that we think are not significant. And what do we do with them? There's a clue. What do we do? Stuff them down. Stuff them down. And we, you know, rush out over them. You know, how many of everyone says, buck up. You'll be fine, right? You can do this. And there's nothing wrong in words, those words of encouragement. That yes, we can do them because that is the truth. But we miss that middle step that allows us to recognize it's natural to have resistance. It's natural to need to take time apart. To recognize, to feel the change, to acknowledge it, to grieve it, and then to release in the appropriate timing. Some of this may be in a few seconds. Some of it may take a year or two or more or however long it takes. But we seldom stop to take that because we're kind of a society like Nike says, just do it, right? Just do it. And we don't afford ourselves that self-care, that nurturing, to say, well, it is natural that it would be uncomfortable to make a change, any change, to experience that, be willing to be present to and notice it. In Scripture, it says, and I love this, it's from Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, that hit me differently than even any other time I've read that before when I was preparing the talk. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are willing enough to be vulnerable. We always, I can do it myself. You know, and you know, mourning is not a good thing. And it says, but if we allow ourselves to recognize that, if we do allow ourselves to mourn, we will find the comfort that we seek. And it doesn't say wallow, you know, and just go spiraling down in something. And there's a difference, and we know and understand the difference, yet we seldom allow ourselves that time of nurturing, caring, to grieve, and to let go of what has been in order to open the way forward. Isaiah 43:18 through 19a, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." It goes on to say something about springs in the deserts and rivers, and I just love that so much. It's like, how many times have we made a change, shifted in our lives? And we thought, oh my gosh, this is just going to be horrible. And then all of a sudden, this new door opens. And as we begin to let go of what was, we can see differently. And then it begins to be curious or exciting, or maybe just a little exciting, but, you know, it begins to lead us into a recognition that everything changes, like Sue Riley's song. Everything always changes. And as we are willing to move with that, to adapt, to be flexible, to not resist, to be willing to grieve and acknowledge, yet to begin looking differently, then everything changes. Stephen Sellers, who is a founder of Centerstone Family Clinic, which deals with military families and issues that they have, that is not him, but I just really like the picture because I felt it went with what he said. Stephen said, "It is common for people to ignore the change that is happening around them for various reasons. Denying or delaying your reaction, however, can often be more stressful than accepting the change early on." How many of us have dragged our feet? I have. We all have. You know, and it's, this isn't to beat ourselves up if we've moved quickly or not moved quickly. It's just to begin to be more mindful, to be aware. Remind yourself that things will be okay and you've endured change before and been fine on the other side. I love this. Highlighted yellow. Yeah. That, you know, what a wonderful practical thing to work with to remind self. Oh my gosh, I have weathered through change. Some of it has been hellish. Some of it has been very difficult. Some of it hasn't been so difficult. But all in all, through it all, as we've navigated it, we've discovered what's next. And new space has opened up. Being receptive to change opens us to expansive, creative possibilities, friends. And so as we recognize our resistance, take the time to grieve, because that helps us to let go. It's usually the resistance is, I want to hang on to what I've always had, what's familiar. And when we grieve, we nurture ourselves. We say, it's okay. We say, and I can remember, I have changed before, and I have made it through, and I have been okay. Eckhart Tolle says, most of you know, spiritual teacher and author, says, "Some changes look negative on the surface, but you will soon realize that space is being created in your life for something new to emerge." Ooh, friends. That's another one to put up on the refrigerator or in the bathroom mirror or something. When everything seems to be different, guess what? It is. And that's the good news. When stuff is breaking apart, the walls are breaking down, when things are shifting and changing, new, and we're opening to new and endless possibilities. And scripture reminds us of this from Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 11. It says, and this is talking about the Moses' journey out of Egypt. And it's saying, "For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven." So we can take the story literally. We can also take it metaphysically or metaphorically. to recognize that as we are willing to step outside the box of what's familiar, as we journey to a different land, even though we were comfortable at that time watering our little vegetable garden by hand, our spirit opens up to the guidance and the presence of Infinite Spirit. And that land or that experience or that next journey, wherever we cross over into, is a land that's expansive. Our lives are expansive. And we drink from the rain of heaven, meaning we drink from the all-sufficiency of Infinite Spirit to support us in the new gardens that we are planting. And from Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." These are beautiful words to remember, that as we are open, as we recognize that it is up to us choicefully to engage in this process. It is up to us to recognize that maybe we need more time to grieve. Maybe we're hanging on where we're ready to let go. As we do this, there is that presence of spirit. It's active in us. It kind of sometimes gently nudges us and sometimes kind of gives us a great big swift kick. I've had a few of those that were necessary. And to recognize that we are indeed supported every step of the way in our journey when we're willing to trust in, to turn to that higher consciousness, that higher wisdom, that higher spirit. Yeah.
I have a Mary Lou Siebel quote that I really, it's so applicable. We were at a funeral, I think, or somebody had lost their mother and they were grieving. And she said, "Isn't it just a wonderful gift and a blessing that you had somebody in your life that you loved so much that the response is this deep grief, but it's the love inside." I've always thought of that. I really loved it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I don't know if those of you at home, Kevin, can they hear Suellen at home a little bit? So, but Suellen was saying that Mary Lou Siebold, who just recently made her transition, was a beloved member of the church. But she had said at a time, she and Suellen were together at a funeral, that we can grieve and just focus on the grieving, and we can be appreciative of the amazing love that we share to that person that brings that grief when they leave. So thanks for sharing that. Mary Lou, thanks. I know she's out there. Oh, boy. This is a little bit of a little segment of an article from masterclass.com. "Adapting to change is a skill that allows you to face new challenges and situations as they arise. A person who can adapt to change accepts these new opportunities and changing situations without as much panic and fear. Becoming an adaptable person requires a positive attitude and a willingness to accept change as it happens. When you look at unexpected shifts as a way to usher in new opportunities that might take you out of your comfort zone, rather than as an obstacle, you can become more resilient to constant change." And it's wonderful to really consider that this is a flow. Our universe is a flow. So it's not an absolute. It's not a black and white. It's not a given. But we can engage in specific practices that help us adapt to change. So I'm going to talk about, just briefly, about three kind of areas to focus on. So one is, first of all, when you finally notice, because we read before, sometimes we don't even recognize that change is happening, and then all of a sudden it's upon it. When we recognize, just be willing to be present to, be open to that which is new, be receptive. So I remember Connie Tooley, bless her heart, and there's also a celebration later this afternoon, a tree planting for her husband, her previous husband, who is deceased, and they're planting a tree. But Connie Tooley and I were talking one time, and she was looking at this problem, and I got up, and I picked her up, and I said, "Look over here." And she never forgot that. And I mean, I didn't think of that. Spirit was guiding me as I was talking with her. I don't, you know, it comes through, but look in a new direction. We get so used to looking through the funnel, the tunnel that is familiar. So in this time of being open and well and receptive, step outside the box a little bit. See if you can touch into a little sense of maybe curiosity, a little sense of, I wonder. And begin to practice a positive attitude. And as one of the quotes said, to remember how past changes have been positive and good. And maybe not even, they didn't seem so initially. But ultimately, as you went forward, how many of you have gone, oh man, I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to do that, and I finally did it, and da, 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 and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, but now I'm here, and I'm so glad I am. So those are the things, and also, most importantly, to set aside comparisons. Wherever we are now and whatever we're going into, it's like when it feels uncomfortable at first, don't compare it with how the old, you know, comfort zone. Go, ooh, you know, embrace that newness. Embrace, you know, that feeling of what's next and that curiosity. Next, during this time, don't forget to be good to yourself. How often do we go, okay, I got to get this done. I should have to. I'm changing my jobs. I just got fired. I got to find a new job. I got evicted. Oh, I'm going to move to a brand new home. I'm all excited. But we don't tend to then do this self-care that's so important, to eat well, to get good rest, to take time to play, to allow humor to move through and to engage with others in humor and to be kind in not judging and beating yourself up with what you're doing. Release, grieve as much as you can. Sometimes we pick that back up. Okay, release, grieve some more. But keep moving through and be kind to yourself. And lastly, most important step throughout all of it is, of course, to rely on God or higher consciousness. And usually, I mean, I have it third on the list, but it's the first. It's where we start. To remember we're not in this alone. The land that we go to is a grander and greater land, even though in this now moment it may look bleak because it's different than what we expect or different than what we're used to. But then to return to the center of our being, to take time apart in prayer, meditation, to connect with Spirit, and to allow that presence to resonate within, to lend a wisdom, a courage. How many of you have ever tried to figure out a problem because you had to, okay, I've got to do this and this and this and this, and you plan it all out, and it doesn't even go that way. And then all of a sudden, you know, in all the cars, and you can't get out of the parking lot, and then all of a sudden, a little path opens up just for you. And friends, that's what does happen in many ways for us as we trust in Spirit, as we allow God to breathe us, as we breathe God. And so as we move through these times of change, as we adapt, as we are able, remember to release and let go, to grieve. Remember to be open, receptive, willing to that which is new. Look differently, look at a new direction, be curious. Remember to take care of yourself. And always call upon that higher consciousness, the presence of God within, to help you navigate that which comes next. And so in closing, I have a quote from Kakuzo Okakura. He was a Japanese scholar. He wrote this beautiful, The Book of Tea. He says, "The art of life lies in a constant readjustment to our surroundings." So, friends, as we navigate into the week before us, let us be aware of the different changes, whether they're vast, whether they're small, and be willing to engage in taking good care of ourselves and in trusting in the presence of God. And so before I close this part of the service, A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Earth Day. And at that time, I invited people into making pledges or choices on how they would participate in this beautiful planet. Small, large, even little steps make a difference. And a part of my contribution was kind of urging people on a little bit, holding the carrot out there, saying for those that actually did respond and participated, I would be sharing a gift with them. And so as I call your name, if you're here in the room, Kevin, can you span over to me or not now? This wonderful technology we have up on the wall. Thank you. So if you would stand, and you can come forward and get your t-shirts, which, Alex, you're first. So as you're coming on up here, I'll show you. It says, Earth Day is every day, and it says, Unity of Michiana Spiritual Center, South Bend, Indiana. We love and bless our planet Earth. So, Alex, this is yours, and Tim, you want to come forward? There were people that made pledges. They're up on the wall. There were people that stayed and nurtured Mother Earth here at the church. Tim, thank you. And there were many people that participated in different ways. Cliff, where are you? Cliff, if you'll come forward, I will put yours there. And I'd also like to mention that your board has recently opted to spend a little bit more on our the electrical energy, is it, Susan, the renewable? Yeah, on our electricity. We can opt in to pay a little more to be using the nationwide grid that is ecologically garnered, and so we are participating in renewable energy credits to participate in that. Chrissy, sweetie, would you come forward? And Sue DeRoos, you can take your little kitty cat name off of there.
Thank you so much.
I'll leave your kitty cat name on because you love kitty cats. Sue Ellen Deer and Terry. Yeah, I know. I know those little kitty cat post-it notes. Sue Ann knows I love kitty cats, and she gave me these, and I just love them. So, Susan and Kevin, for all of your participation in so many ways. Oh, I dropped your little kitty cat. Okay. Now, part of what I had shared also is that if you did not have a chance at that time to respond, you're more than welcome to still step forward. If you make a pledge, see, I don't leave people out. That's right, Bill. Oh, and there's one for me. We did a lot of wonderful work outside. Thank you. And Patty's in the back, and Natalie stayed. If they're not busy, they could come get theirs. And my sister, Vicki Thompson and Evan Thompson, I actually have their t-shirts at home because they're coming for a visit in July. So, yeah, I'm so excited. Natalie, sweetheart, here's a t-shirt for you for helping so much on Earth Day. And Patty, here's one for you. Uh-huh. And Tamara, dear, I don't know if you're watching. Oh. Thank you. I don't know if you're watching this morning, but I have yours here. Yeah. 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 And so I have Tamara's here. So, and for those of you, this was, an ongoing thing that I had put forth in inviting people to participate, whether it's choosing to plant trees, whether it's choosing to forego straws, whether there's so many things out there, and many of us are already doing those things, and yet it also requires a little bit more of a push at the political level. So I invited people to go online and sign some of those things. So if any of you still want to participate in that, You're more than welcome to do so. And as you do so, Susan has little papers, I think, still in the office. You can sign one of those, and so you can be included down the road in all of that.